Do we got some uprise?
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
That's jazzy.
What part of Italy? We were in Rome, right?
I was in Rome.
Is this recording right now? Yeah. Oh, I thought we were. Simon snuck us. They heard my low key voice.
This guy can sing.
Did he say birthday suit on?
That's dangerous.
I like this. Man, I like what it does to me, because sometimes when I'm in this chair, it doesn't matter what happens. The uprise.
No more drama. Call me, babe. You know I got you, babe.
You know I got you, babe. What's up, my brother?
Man, I'm out here, man. What's going on, man?
Everything's good. It's good that we are back in the laboratory.
Is this our first one of the new year?
It is, bro. 2020.
They let us in, huh?
Happy New Year's.
I
think you have too much leverage at the NFL. Let's just start there.
Why'd you say that?
Because I think, like, your threats are not empty threats.
Yeah. They're not.
They're not. But we find a way to recover.
They're not empty threats.
I know. You're just.
I learned not to make empty threats.
Because somebody does.
Yeah, I learned not to make empty threats long time ago when I was when I was at war with the New York Giants.
and you weren't willing.
I wasn't willing to
take it.
No,
where they needed you to take it to.
Where I needed to go to get that chalupa.
Yes, yes.
I wasn't willing to go.
No,
and
you weren't.
I just threatened, and they looked at me. They were like, "You're really a good guy. You're not gonna do this.
You're not ready to go to that level.
You're not ready." And they just chilled. And so I learned my lesson. I was like, you know what? From now on,
no empty threats.
If you're gonna make a threat, you better be willing to go all the way with that threat, because sometimes they call you out
quickly.
Sometimes somebody's gonna be like, you know what? Do it.
I'm ready for it. Let me see it.
What are you going to do?
I was talking to somebody the other day, and we were about our show, right, doing some stuff. So I'm not going to reveal who it was. And we were in this discussion on something, and I was like, I forgot who we were talking about, but I was like, you remember the time when the Giants came up to OC and said, OC, you're the best defense in football, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah. And he's like, that boy you playing against, Walter Jones right there? Well, he's the best tackle. Now go out there and get it done.
Yeah.
And I was talking about it because I forgot exactly what it was, but I was talking about players or situations where the greats, they just respond to the pressure.
Yeah.
And teams put them in that situation. Mm-hmm. I think the conversation was like, who would, before a game, do that to a guy? And I was like, well, let me tell you,
right,
somebody it happened to. And you went out there and balled. Like, this wasn't the week before the game.
Nah.
This wasn't.
We were getting off the bus at the game. Kevin Abrams came up to me. He was like, you said, this is what you said, right? We're going to see right now what you're going to do. I was like, oh, my God. Went out there and performed.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And you probably had all kind of mixed emotions not getting into that, but you did.
Yeah.
And now where we are and what's happening now in the NFL, where we are right now, the divisional round, right?
Yeah.
I'm right. It's a divisional round, right?
Yeah.
I'm saying that right.
That's when I knew
uh-huh.
Michael Strahan was like one of my best friends.
Talk that. Tell me how this happened.
That's when I knew. And uh-huh. We're going to get back to what you're saying.
Because yeah, no, this is interesting.
That's when I knew.
Because he's on the other side of you, the other defensive end.
On the other side,
mm-hmm.
yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And he knew going in what the situation was.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I would make a play, he was so happy, man.
He knew you were eating.
He was so happy. He couldn't hide it. He was like, oh, my God. It was like he was the one. And that's when I knew, man, that he's just a different level
yes.
of person. You know what I mean?
Yes.
He was so happy for me, man. And me and him, we've been tight ever since, man.
Yeah.
Divisional round. Sorry.
So the teams that are here, right, that have made it here, to your point, they have to be more than talented.
Yeah.
They have to have what you just said. there has to be a greater purpose, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. And there has to be trust, belief. You got to love your teammates. You got to love your team. It is year to year.
Yeah.
But you that year, it is your family. It is your team. You're locked in. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that?
100%, Jason. Let me explain something to people who don't understand the playoff structure. Yeah? So once you get to the playoffs,
right?
Say, for instance, I'm going to go back to Michael Strahan. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go back to his example. Michael Strahan at the time was making $250,000, $300,000 a week per game. Yeah?
Yeah.
Once you get to the playoffs, you start making $10,000.
Everybody makes the same.
Everybody makes the same. Yeah? So now he's gone from making $300,000 a week to $10,000 a week. So as a player, you're no longer playing for money at this particular.
Yes, yes.
Because the money isn't, you know, the money isn't.
It's not what you had during the season unless you're a young guy. And
Even if you're a young guy.
Yeah, the
you're
extra.
You
don't
make it more than that.
Yes,
you understand?
True.
So the money becomes irrelevant.
Yeah. True.
So now if you lose a game, you're going home. Yeah? So what you've done is mm-hmm. you've taken a massive pay cut. You've played a game, you've lost, you've put that extra wear and tear in your body, and you didn't gain one thing if you lose. You gain nothing.
I never thought about it.
You gain nothing.
You've put your – you literally risked your body
yes.
for less than you're really worth contractually.
Exactly.
That's why you have your contract. This is what I'm worth to go out there and perform.
Exactly.
And it's more intense, OC.
And the level of competition – because of all these little factors, right, is through the roof, Jason. So now you're out there and you're essentially playing for each other. There's nothing else. There's literally nothing else. You're playing for each other. You're like, okay, we're here. There's no points in not going all out because if you lose, you're going home and you gain nothing. Like, there's no difference between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Cincinnati Bengals this year. There's no difference. There's no difference. No matter which way you slice it and dice it,
this is so true.
There is no difference between those two teams. So if you're going to get into that level, you might as well give everything you got. Nothing else matters. Pretty much the only time I can think of in my entire footballing history, whereas I didn't care anything about statistics. I didn't care anything about them. I cared nothing about statistics.
Wow.
The only thing that was important, it was like playing high school football. You understand what I mean?
It was that pure.
It's just pure. Because stats don't count. Nothing counts. Nothing. It's just, Did you win this game or not?
That's what you're remembered as.
Did you win this game or not? Did you win or did you lose? It doesn't matter if you have 5 sacks. Doesn't matter if you have 0 sacks. Doesn't matter if you have 15 touchdown passes. Doesn't matter if you had 0 touchdown passes. Did you win that game and move on or did you lose? And that's the only time it's so pure, Jason.
Man.
I'm telling you, it's such a different feeling when you're winning in the playoffs because nothing else. I can't really explain it to you, man.
No, it makes sense. I've been in the playoffs. I just haven't won a Super Bowl.
Once you start advancing, you're advancing, and everybody's like, oh my God, we have to win. We got to.
You are one. You are
one unit. You don't care. You sacrifice. You do anything. You know that wedge buster?
Yeah.
You would do it 100 times. Like, you don't care. You don't care, man. Like, listen, I got to get this done. And it's a different feel. There's no way you can play like that the entire season. It just doesn't make any sense.
So do you think, wow, this is interesting, because you look at the way the NFL is and how they structured it and how they built this playoff system. But my gosh, it's sounding genius right now.
Yeah.
I mean, just the way, because as a player, as the fans are invested. I mean, this is, yes, they're all in, right? Everybody's in. But as a player, the way it changes your mentality is fascinating. Do you think when you look at those teams and you look at the success you had, How much did guys change? I mean, you were who you were as a team. I know the guys you played with. I know kind of the heartbeat of the team. But did everybody elevate, or did the people that were kind of not all the way? And you have 5% of your roster. They'll go either direction.
Yeah.
What was the increase like? Was it just what would you say the thing that changed? I mean, I'm digging deeper than what you said, because that is fascinating. But when you look back, you're like, man, I saw this visible thing when we went to practice on Wednesday to get ready.
Yeah, everybody elevated. Everybody.
Practice just looked – it was something
– Everything. Everybody elevated. Everybody took their game to – and it almost sounds like, how can you take your game to a different level if you're a professional? And but everything was so fast. Everything was so locked in. The mistakes were, cut to almost zero.
Wow.
It's like it's a laser focus. And we were going into games. We were going into practices. We were the underdog every single time we played. And we were going into games like with the Napoleon complex. Like we thought we were better than
what people were saying.
Yeah, we're 9-7, but we're better than you.
Yeah,
we're better than you.
Yes,
we'll beat you. You know what I mean? We'll beat you.
We'll beat you.
Yeah, you.
Yeah, we'll beat you.
We'll beat you. We're going to games thinking like that. And, you know, nobody else saw it. Everybody was like, oh, the Giants are there. And we, man, can you imagine thinking that, like, really believing it? Not like, oh, you know how you
see.
Do the false bravado?
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, yeah,
all
yeah.
the time, yeah.
No.
Until you get punched.
No.
It was real.
We thought we were better than these guys. And when we went out there, we were like, we're better than them. And we would just beat their ass.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, why can't you have that mentality throughout, like, the regular season? Like, why? Why would you wait till, like, towards the end, and then all of a sudden you're like, you know what? We're better than you.
You know what's funny?
It's weird.
I think you answered it before. And I never looked at it like this, because I was a middle road guy. But if I'm to make the big, crazy money,
yeah,
you have to be the best.
Yeah.
And it's not about being a team player.
Right. At all.
Because when they sit down and negotiate your contract, if you are replaceable by any means or measures, they discount you.
Yes.
They say, well, I can go get – I mean, yeah, I know you did this, and I know you sacrificed like this, but I can go find that OC.
Yeah.
But the statistics you had, and win, lose, or draw, you were out there getting stats, that's what got you the big contract.
Yeah.
That's the way you have to play
yeah.
to get paid.
Isn't that crazy?
You have to. You don't have a choice. You can't – you can't really become a super team-focused guy until you get paid.
Yeah. But isn't that – this is like the biggest conundrum in high-level team sports to me. You know what I mean? It's the biggest conundrum because as a fans, you like to imagine that, oh, it's a team.
Yeah, yeah. And we're out for the victory.
But in order for you, as this is your job as a professional, in order for you to get to the highest level, in order for you to get paid, you have to be selfish.
Because the way the incentives are measured, it's
you have to be paid. You have to be, oh, I got to go get this sack. I got to throw this many touchdowns at three. I have to rush for these many yards. But you have to be a team at the same time.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You have to be a team.
Yeah.
Because it's, Jason, you're a DB, I'm a defensive end, yeah?
Yep.
If you don't do your job, I can't perform.
Nope.
So I'm relying on you.
Yep, and we are. Totally relying on you.
I'm relying on you. You're
totally.
Relying on me.
Yep.
But I got to get mine.
Yes.
Yeah, isn't
yes.
it? That's nuts.
Yes.
It's nuts when you think about it.
It is.
The ultimate team sport, but in order for you to get paid, you got to be selfish.
Yes. And
it works.
And it works. It works. It does. It does. And I think it's crazy. It does, because all that being said, in the regular season, what are you remembered for?
Yep. Playoffs, Super Bowls.
Championships. and where you had a great career, but what does everybody say Super right Bowl after they champ. Say
it? That's it.
Bam!
Nobody remembers nothing else.
They don't remember all those sacks. They don't remember you getting – how many sacks a game did you get that one game?
No, nobody remembers, man.
Exactly.
Don't even matter.
I know who it was against because he went to my high school, so I'm not going to repeat his name.
Doesn't even matter.
I mean, I remember you running in touchdowns here or there, yeah. But your name is in that stadium because of one reason.
Championships, man.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's weird.
And now we're here, and now we're seeing teams just be the best version of themselves. It was one thing I wanted to ask you.
Okay.
And it relates to football. You're a film guy, big time film guy.
I love
huge
movies.
Movies
love
guy.
Movies.
Okay, we've talked about how I remember talking about it when I was in business school. We studied The Godfather to talk about different personalities, corporate incorporations, whatever. And you's like, oh, my dad taught me that. We did that when we was a kid.
Yeah.
And watched, right. So, anyways. But you always talk about these characters and stuff like that. And I just saw Tom Hanks said something that was so interesting to me. And it made me think about football and teams and people. And he said all these characters he's played throughout his career have made him evaluate his own personality traits.
Mm.
Because and who he is, you know, whether they're strengths or weaknesses. And this is a guy who, if you watch him, how he moves off camera, you seems pretty in control, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, do you see things in movie characters that you take on in your life and you're in a situation, you'd be like, oh, I saw in this film how this was handled right or the wrong way?
Yeah.
That's my first question. And my second is, we always talk about high-level coaching. And what that is at this in NFL, that there's a difference. There's parity with players, not with coaches and staffs, right?
Mm-hmm.
We kind of agree on that. And now you look at these staffs and these teams that are where they are in the playoffs right now and then divisional round matchups. And I think you see coaches and leaders who can identify traits of their team and are running with it.
Mm-hmm. To answer your second question first.
I forgot my second question, by the way.
Yeah. No, your second question, the one you just asked.
Okay, I forgot it.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think, okay, for instance, we're going to talk about Tennessee Titans.
Yes.
Yeah,
yeah, let's talk about Tennessee.
Tough physical football team. Yeah?
Yeah.
When they played against the New England Patriots, what did they do?
Took it to them.
So Vrabel's like, okay, this is our identity.
Yep.
This is who we got in our locker room.
Yep.
This is what we believe in, and we're going down with this.
That's
shit.
That's it. And you know what's amazing? When you relook at the film, I mean, the Patriots' game plan was good. They didn't give up a lot of points.
Yeah.
Who would have thought that they just would have got physically abused like that?
Yeah. You know who thought that?
Vrabel.
Vrabel thought that. Vrabel thought that. You look at Minnesota, what they did in New Orleans, which, by the way, was crazy. Tough physical football team, ran the ball, made some big plays in the passing game, and defensively with their D-line, they overwhelmed.
And it's amazing that they did that with their two nickelbacks, their inside corners hurt.
Yeah.
So Zim had to adjust everything he was doing, and he did it with the defensive front and got creative there.
Yeah.
And yes.
So you identify what your team is, you identify who your leaders are, and you push them to the forefront. You're like, okay, this is exactly how we're going to attack this. This is exactly how we're going to do that. So, you know, that's how that works.
Yes.
Now, in regards to the Tom Hanks question, absolutely. I think when you – like, we were talking about The Godfather.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And I could never understand why my father was like, oh, you make me watch this movie when I was like 7.
That's crazy.
He's like, well, now you guys got to watch this movie. He would sit us all down. We watched the movie and we'd watch it over and over and over and over again. And as we got older in life, I started to identify who was who.
Yes.
In the family, it was the weirdest thing. I'd be like, oh, he acts just like him. He acts just like Sonny.
Yes.
You know, like, I have a brother who behaves exactly like Sonny. Exactly like him.
Who doesn't love Sonny?
Exactly like him.
Oh, my goodness.
And I think my father was, like, trying to warn him. He's like, listen.
Look, this is the repercussions of your behavior and the way you approach things.
And then, you know, I have a brother who behaves exactly like Michael. Mm. And that brother is me. But, you know, it's in a way, in the way my family structure is set up, I really, because growing up, I was like really quiet and like, you know, very peaceful. I didn't want any drama.
Right.
But there was also another.
There's a left-hand turn.
Yeah, there's always something there that, you know, this guy can, he can go.
Don't light a match.
Yeah, he can go there. You understand? You never, like, when you watch, you never saw Michael turning into what he eventually turned into.
Yeah.
You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
He started out as a military guy,
nice.
Quiet, just chilling.
Yeah,
and then once he got that, you could just see him. He was calm, quiet, calculating.
Yes.
Always thinking. And then he just, you know, he became the killer.
Yes.
And
yes.
So it's all these different things that you can see in movies that pertain to real life. And that's exactly what it is. It's wild.
It's fascinating because it's one of those things, right, where you look at people in any position in life, whatever your career is, whatever you do, being a parent.
Yeah.
It's the same thing that happens as a player. I think the people that can constantly absorb knowledge from other places, learn from people's successes and failures, apply that to what they're doing, they are the ones that survive.
That's a very difficult thing to do.
It's hard.
A very difficult thing for people to do.
And I look at, it's so hard. And this whole thing has come to mind is just thinking about where we are and evaluating these teams and just thinking football, like it's fun. And I'm just looking at the players that are out there doing things. And they are the ones that, from my knowledge, either by watching the film or knowing who they are, they correct mistakes.
Yeah.
These people that you see doing well don't repeat the same thing over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
They take coaching well from the people that provide the knowledge. It's just like you. You were telling me a tip that somebody taught you when you were playing changed your career.
Mm-hmm.
I said, did you tell another tip? You said, I went to tell one guy.
Yeah.
It just didn't register.
Yeah.
And the guy's good, but he was like, it just didn't go. And I'm thinking, what?
Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy.
You know?
It's crazy.
And it's just, crazy. You look at these coaches. Mm-hmm. You look at these players.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that will continue to go on, and the two teams we'll see in the championship, are made up of more individuals that learn from others' failures.
Mm.
I think.
Speaking of coaching, Jay.
Oh, man, I have a feeling where we're going.
Speaking of coaching.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's been some backlash recently.
Yeah. Related to the Rooney Rule?
Related to the Rooney Rule.
Okay.
About the
diversity in coaching. That's what the Rooney Rule is.
Diversity in coaching and the lack of black coaches in a league that is 70% black.
Yes.
And it's a very, very valid point, what these people are saying.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Yes.
Absolutely correct.
Yep.
Should there be more black coaches in the NFL? Absolutely.
Yes.
There should be. There's no question about that. But here's my issue and here's my thing in
I think I might know where you're going.
In general.
Okay.
Here's my thing in society in general. Is that for some odd reason, it's not even an odd reason,
mm-hmm.
it's the easy thing to do,
mm-hmm.
is to look at the surface,
mm-hmm.
and jump on that, be like, racism, this, that.
Yeah, it's easy.
That's
the easy way.
It's in everything. It's always, you always look at the top level, right?
Yes.
And so now the NFL and their owners are being accused of being racist because of the lack of hiring of these black coaches, the lack of opportunity to be given to these black coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And from the surface, that makes sense because when you look at it, it's glaring. You're like, how is that? How are there only three black head coaches in the league? Mm-hmm. That doesn't even make any sense. Mm-hmm. But what I like to do, and you know this about me, Jason, is I always like to look deeper.
Yes.
I always like to look deeper.
These are our daily conversations, my friend.
Like, I want to know. I don't want to put a lipstick on a pig. I want to put like a Band-Aid on like a really deep cut.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I need to.
You're still bleeding.
Yeah, we need to fix what's underneath there.
We need to get stitches.
So, yeah. So now, what is the real cause of the lack of black coaches in the NFL?
I'm with you on this.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're right. It's who would be crazy enough to think these owners didn't want to win?
Right.
First of all, let's start there.
Right.
There's 70% of the league has African American descent in it of some sort. African descent of some sort. Okay, cool. And that has happened throughout the years because of what?
They wanted to win.
It's a meritocracy.
Right.
Can you do it or can you not?
Mm-hmm.
Owners want to win.
Yes.
Do you think now that doesn't move up the chain, meaning they want to win?
Yes.
Period.
Period.
So, we know that.
Yes.
Okay. So, when I look at it, I don't look at it like they're going to sacrifice their ability to win by not picking someone with some kind of skin tone.
Yes.
That makes zero sense to me.
None.
Which a league that's proven that 75% of the owners want to win.
Yes.
Okay. When I look at it, and we've had discussions on this. If we were – people like to work with people they understand.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, are we going here?
Might as well.
I know.
It's the new year. So we got till April 15th.
It's the new year. This is what I think.
We got till April 15th.
Yeah, we got till April 15th.
Yeah.
Okay, this is what I think. We only have so much time to evaluate things. When I look – if I'm looking and I'm an owner and I'm going to hire someone – a coach, a GM, somebody that I have to talk to directly. It's easier for me to understand how they think when I'm from or have some familiarity with who they are, what they're from.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is. We're both from Long Beach, California. Where it is. Whatever. Oh, that I'm OC owns a team. This guy's Nigerian. I know how Nigerians think,
mm-hmm.
right? It's a hurdle you don't have to jump over.
Okay.
So I think that a lot of times you pick people where you're like, I was that kid. Mm. I understand that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it isn't malicious. It's just the easy way to go.
Mm.
It's the way we think. It's the way we find a shortcut to a solution.
Mm.
Now, the Rooney Rule I love because what it has done is it has put people in front of people that they might not have thought they were had similarities or thought the same way,
mm-hmm.
and has forced that upon them, and they make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
It's helped with that. Now, I also think another tier of that, when I look at it, is it's the wave we're in. The wave is I want the offensive coordinators, the play callers. Most of the head coaches are you hire the offensive guy because if you don't, somebody else is going to cherry pick your coordinator to be a head coach somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really happening on the defensive side. And it's different from what the Giants did going to get a special teams guy, which I love because I like special teams guys. But what I'm saying is until there are more, and you said this before, there needs to be more black quarterbacks coaches
mm-hmm.
and black offensive coordinators
mm-hmm.
or minority, whatever you call that,
mm-hmm.
in that position because that's the wave. If the wave goes back to defensive guys and all of a sudden you want defensive back coaches – that's the thing,
mm-hmm.
then that's what they get. And I think we're in the wave now where people want the offensive play callers because if you don't lock him down, you get him taken from your team anyways by
mm.
another team using him as a head coach.
Mm. Very good, Jason. I agree with everything that you said.
Good, because I forgot, again, what I just said.
You got to stop forgetting these things,
It's the New Year's, man. You know, it's just...
I agree with everything.
I'm excited to be back.
I agree with everything you said. I'm going to tell you this, I think that this problem can be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
I think it can be addressed very, very easily. It's going to take 10 to 15 years to truly address this issue the way it needs to be addressed.
It's really not that long when you think about it, too.
10 to 15 years to really, really address the root cause of these issues. Now, if, for instance, I know maybe two or three of people who I played with,
mm-hmm.
black guys,
mm-hmm.
who have decided to go into coaching,
uh-huh.
maybe two or three, I can name 20 to 25 white guys who have decided to go into coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And they start from the bottom.
Yeah.
From the bottom.
Yes, yes. That's
now,
they do.
What has to happen is the bottom ranks needs to be flooded with black coaches. I'm talking about high schools, colleges.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be flooded. And you know what happens? Because what you said is correct. These people, they want to win above all else, period. Bro, remember when I said
we just talked about the Super Bowls.
Yeah, okay, there was a time when you couldn't have a black quarterback, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you remember when I said that stuff about Lamar Jackson?
Uh-huh.
I had the entire Baltimore nation jump down my throat.
Quick.
Most of them white fans.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
They don't care nothing about, listen, this guy's going to help us win. They just want to win. The owners are the exact same way. Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, once you start flooding these lower levels, these, you know, colleges, what you're going to see is, as the progression continues to go, you're going to see more black quarterbacks coaches, more black offensive coordinators, more black everything. And these guys are the ones that are going to progress to the next level. And that's how you get – it's not, the sample size is too small right now.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes.
It's too small.
I hear what you're saying.
Eric Bieniemy is the guy who they keep talking about. This is one guy.
Because
this is one guy. What if he's not a good leader? You understand? What if he went to interview and they were like, "Yeah, we like his. He's not a leader of men. We can't hire this guy." You understand what I'm trying to say?
I understand.
You understand what I mean?
Yes.
So all that it needs to start from a much earlier stage, not just in the end. It's a progression. You start early. You start coaching.
Yep.
You move up. You work hard. You get to a certain point. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yes, I do.
You can't just point the finger at that and say, oh, my God. Oh, we need a whole lot more candidates.
Yes.
And I guarantee you if the offensive coordinator for Alabama or USC or one of these teams, the black coach, I guarantee you they're going to hire him. I guarantee it, man.
Because
all they want to do is win. So let's address it that way as opposed to talking trash right now and saying, blah, 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 blah. That's never going to fix the problem.
You know what's crazy?
I'm sorry.
No, I love it. I love it. Bruce Arians, right?
Yeah.
All right. Bruce Arians. Okay. When he had an interview, it was so fascinating. And he was talking about a job or something he got.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, you know, I got the job because I knew how to talk to the brothers.
Right.
Like way back in the day.
Yeah.
He's like, I was cool. And he was like, I was cool with him and I would talk to him because I grew up with him. I played with him. I this, I that, right? Boom. It just, you see how his swag is about it. Look at what he's done in Tampa.
Yep.
I mean, he's like when Obama got into office and Obama was like, I'm just going to put the best people here.
Yeah.
And that's how I'm going to look at it. I mean, he's hired women in so many roles, mm-hmm. right? Because he's like, look, you guys are looking at it like I hired her because she's a woman. She's the best I saw.
Yeah.
That's why she's here. And this person is the best and that person's the best. I've never played for him, but I know people who have. And it's all about production.
Yeah.
You know, our buddy Plax, who loves him. You know, mm-hmm. when he played with him. But, I mean, so you're right. People want to win. It's just about flooding the lower level with applicants.
Period.
You know what's fascinating about this? So I have friends, retired, you know, clients that are going into their second career. One of them, I'll talk about two different ones, okay, interview with a bunch of different firms. So qualified. These guys went to school when they were playing, you know. They were one of them was a player like me. We knew he had to do something else. He's got all these jobs. And now he's got like three and he's juggling. Mm-hmm. One's a big bank, two other big tech companies. And his whole thing is now he's in that position and he's like, wow, you know, I didn't think it was going to be this difficult. And I was like, they are trying to get diversity. Mm-hmm. They don't have the applicants.
It's crazy, right? It's crazy.
One of them
it's crazy.
Works for big bank that one of our friends worked for. And they're like, if you're in here, you're going to move up fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the reality. You know what's funny? They get a lot of blowback because they're seemed to be fast-tracked.
Yeah.
Because they're the only one.
Yeah.
So it's just, be careful what you wish for.
Listen.
It's so, you got to dig deep on this. Just, and you got to think.
This is the time.
Yeah.
This is the time.
Yeah.
This is the time. I'm speaking in a whisper.
Yeah.
Because I don't want them to catch on. It's the time. They're like, listen, there's so much noise. The internet has blown this world apart. Is.
People are just talking.
So much noise.
Without thinking.
There's so much noise. And anything can be misconstrued as. Yeah. So they're like, oh, we have to. So the opportunity is you just have to be a viable candidate. You have to be a viable candidate and you will do it.
Yes. There.
It's just not enough. There and that is the
hurdles.
Reality.
Yes, there are hurdles, but everyone has hurdles, right, OC?
Yeah.
Everybody, everywhere has hurdles. But you're right. I mean, this is.
It literally made me think this yesterday. Noble, I was like, you know what? Maybe I should go to New York, tell John Mara, you know what? Let me just be an assistant D-line coach. Let me just start there.
Yeah.
Because I believe. Within 4 to 5 years, if I started at that lower level, I could be a head coach somewhere.
You know why? Because you can lead. Because you can lead. Head coaches need to be – you need to know how to lead. You need to know how to talk to people. You need to know how to handle things. You need to have gauge the temperature of your locker room. It's much more than calling plays.
Period. As a head coach.
Head coach period. Is not about calling plays. It's about understanding your team. And during the game situation, understanding the circumstances. You are now in full-fledged battle mode. Things change. What has changed? You have this coordinator worried about this. You got this coordinator. You got these position coaches. You need to say, slow down.
Mm.
This is what's happening. You need to orchestrate it. You need to be a visionary like that. That's why Pete Carroll's so good.
Mm.
You watch him. You watch Belichick. I will say this. I wonder if that hurt Belichick this year. Being more involved in the defense than in the past. Now, he's building up future coordinators, granted. But did that take away? I'm not saying, but was that harmful on his overall ability to orchestrate and see everything? I don't think so, but, you know, it's a question.
Mm.
You look at these coaches, man, all of them, every one of these coaches playing right now, seems. Well, I will say Andy Reid goes. That's why Spagnuolo's good for him because he can kind of get offensive heavy, but seemed to have a heartbeat. What do you think about these games real quick?
Okay, what you got?
Real quick.
Because
that was interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, when we talk about the Titans and the Ravens,
mm-hmm.
I want one thought about this game.
Going to be a physical smash-mouth game. Ravens will win it, though.
Yeah.
Ravens will win it. Titans are going to give them their money's worth. It's not going to be like a blowout or nothing like that, man. But I think the Ravens will come out on top.
I think if there's anything to watch in the Ravens is how much and significant those tight ends are that they use.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was thinking about this. That offensive line is the same offensive line Flacco had. Mm-hmm. It's not like they built this new offensive line for just Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
But they use their tight ends in a way – to do a lot of different blocking stuff. But in reality, man, Lamar Jackson, they just know he's going to win his one-on-one battles.
Yeah.
That offense is run first. Everything off of that, that's exciting. You said this one right now, I'm going to tell you. You said this was not a good matchup. You said this team didn't want it.
Mm.
When the Vikings are playing the 49ers.
Yeah.
You said it. You said what happened. He's like, the 49ers didn't want this matchup.
Yeah, not good. I'm not going to say that the Vikings definitively.
Definitively.
Yeah. I'm not going to say that they're going to win this game definitively, but it's a very, very bad matchup for the San Francisco 49ers because, number one, the Vikings can run the ball. Their quarterback is playing really well
as
of late. Matter of fact, he's played pretty well this whole season.
Yeah.
Got two good receivers.
Yeah.
Two very good
receivers. Yeah. And Thielen is really kind of turning it on now.
And their defensive line, flat out ballers.
They looked fast, bro, all game.
Flat out ballers. They're going down there on grass, good weather. Should be good weather. I don't like this matchup for the San Francisco 49ers. They might win. They've had a fantastic season.
Yeah.
I just don't like the way it looks for them, man. How is Minnesota going to New Orleans?
I know. They're not scared, man.
New Orleans?
They're not scared.
New Orleans?
I know. I think this. Mm. I'm going to go with the 49ers,
mm-hmm.
but George Kittle, their electric tight end, right?
Yeah.
One thing, the Vikings have struggled at corner. Mm-hmm. You know what they haven't struggled at? Covering tight ends with their safeties and their nickel.
Mm-hmm.
They have done well. I think they are one of the top
Harrison,
teams.
There's no tight end he can't cover.
Yeah, yeah.
Period.
And Anthony Harris is one of the league leaders in interceptions. Mm-hmm. They do well against tight ends.
Yeah.
So that's one. Because I was digging into what you said. I'm like, all right, let's look at this matchup.
Yeah.
That's a matchup that favors Minnesota. Yeah. All right, cool. Let's quick on Texans and Chiefs.
Nah, it's going to be a snooze fest.
Man. What?
Nah.
What do you think?
Chiefs by 14.
Wow. I will say this.
Chiefs by 14.
I will say this. The Texans defensive backs as a whole unit,
mm-hmm.
they're just mismatched. I mean, they've got too many weapons at the Chiefs, and I'm with you. I'm with you at that. It's like,
first of all, no disrespect to the Texans because you know they're gonna cut this up. OC says
I'm a Texan, so
the Texans are the worst team. They're gonna lose by 14, and
you're
then
being respectful.
And then the Texans fans are gonna jump down my throat.
You
know how that goes.
I do.
No disrespect to the Texans. I just don't think that it's a good matchup for them either.
Yeah, I do think that Spagnuolo.
Yeah.
Our former defensive coordinator will draw up some blitzes that really mess with the pass protection.
Mm-hmm.
And we did this on our show, as elite as Deshaun Watson is, it's hard when you're young to be able to pick up all those different kind of blitzes, especially with, when they're week to week.
Yeah.
And Spags does a good job with changing that up for his opponent.
Yeah.
And they're doing a lot of stuff in the back end coverage-wise. Seahawks. Packers, OC. This is tough.
I think the Seahawks will win. Listen, Green Bay 13-3. You can't argue with that record, even though I'm not a fan of the way they got there.
Yep.
I didn't think that they looked like a dominant football team, but like Bill Parcells says, you are what your record says you are. So the fact that they're 13-3 says they're a really good football team. Seattle, I think, is a little bit more battle-tested. I think they'll be able to go in there and win. Who knows?
I'm going with Green Bay. It's going to be tough. And I think I'm looking for two things.
Mm-hmm.
One of these quarterbacks is just going to be, like, out of control. They're just – they have to be. They both are that caliber of player where all of a sudden you're like, oh, my gosh, look at this throw, whatever. Turnovers, though.
Yeah.
Green Bay all year has gotten turnovers. That's how they've been on defense. And I think – if they can win the turnover battle, it's going to be such a close game. Whoever wins that comes out victorious. Mm. That's why they need a guy like OC. Strip sack,
strip
fumbles
sack. Yes, sir.
For touchdowns.
Yes, sir.
That was a – what do they call that? Lightning rounds or whatever through the thing?
Mm-hmm.
I like that
mm-hmm.
because it kept me from talking too much.
So stupid, man.
Simon, do we got time for a question? What do you think, Simon? Real talk. You have been hitting us up on Twitter with the hashtag AskOC, hashtag AskJBell, and posting your reviews on wherever you get your podcast. That's Apple, that's Spotify, that's Audio Boom, and that's a whole bunch of other things I don't know. OCL.
Okay, what you got?
Shannon is worried.
Why is Shannon worried?
Let me tell you. Jason, please tell OC not to end the podcast. You talk about giving the people what they want, but are you ending in April? 3 question marks, my friend. Please reconsider. I need Jason and OC in my life. Okay. Shannon, that's so much love.
Okay, Shannon.
I love that.
Shannon, shout out to Shannon, first of all.
Super shout out.
Shout out to Shannon. That is incredible. But here's the problem, yeah? Here's the issue.
Whenever OC says, yeah, after he says he's going in.
No. Here's the issue. Is the reason why most people, I'll say 90% of the people, like our podcast is because we go to places that could get us kicked off.
Yes.
So it's a conundrum.
Yeah. We got our backs against the wall.
Yeah, because if we stop doing that,
nobody's going to listen.
Nobody's going to listen. Oh, okay. San Fran versus Baltimore. Okay. Yeah, they can listen to 100 other podcasts.
True.
To get that kind
but
of.
But you do have good insight.
Oh, cool.
You have great football insight.
All that's cool, but it's the mix of the football with taking us right there to that line.
And so
we have to keep doing that. And eventually, that's going to get us kicked off. It's as simple as that. That's going to get us kicked off eventually.
It's being a knockout puncher that swings for the fences.
Yeah.
You leave your chin open.
Yeah, that's it.
You leave your chin open.
I'm sorry,
but
Shannon.
But you're right. It was, hey, but truth, the most fascinating thing to me earlier was talking about the mentality of what it takes to get in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And then it turned to some other stuff, and I love it.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. Today was, even speaking, we have to go somewhere else, man.
Yeah.
We have to take this to a different level because today was it was very good, but it was safe. It was safe. I don't like safe.
You don't play safe.
I have to find something else.
And you know what? If the players that play safe, you know what they say about them?
What's that?
They don't make no plays, OC.
Nope. Nope.
That's what the NFL says. You could be a safe player, and you get that safe money.
Yep, period.
But you don't break the bank.
Nope.
I like it.
It is what it is.
All right, we have an announcement. We have an announcement.
Nobody told me about this announcement.
You want to know about this announcement?
Tell it to me.
All right. Come out and see the Jason and OC podcast live. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We are recording this show in front of our listeners on Thursday, the 23rd of January. You know, I would usually say January 23rd, but I have assimilated into British culture and society.
Good word, assimilate.
Yes.
Yeah,
so I say the 23rd of January at the Greenwood Sports Pub and Kitchen in Victoria. That's in London.
Mm-hmm.
That's in London. Just, I'm not going to think people know that it is in London.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This, once again, Thursday night, the 23rd of January, me and OC, you all, and a lot of fun. Ticket details coming up on our social media soon. Bet you didn't know that, OC.
I didn't.
Yes, at JasonBell33 and at, what is your actual thing? Is it your name?
I think it's OC Mignore.
Yeah. That's
like my actual name.
That's your Twitter.
It's funny how I knew yours, but.
Your IG would be.
I don't have IG, so.
Can we do the Uprise?
Yeah, nobody's really following.
Okay. That's what I was saying.
But it's funny how I knew your Twitter handle.
I know yours too.
No, you asked me. You simply asked me a question.
Because I didn't know if that
Pretty sure you asked me what my Twitter handle was.
But that was because
he doesn't follow me. You're not my friend.
I follow you.
Oh, he doesn't follow Simon?
Oh, I don't. Simon,
oh,
I like your stuff all the time.
Goodness.
Oh, I see it on yours, OC. I see Simon's stuff through your likes.
Oh, man.
But see, it doesn't say Twitter or Instagram.
There's
That's not your.
No way you can get out of this.
I don't follow Simon.
I don't know how you're going to talk your way out of this one. Because you're very good at talking your way out of
stuff.
You know,
the truth is,
you don't follow Simon?
I see things.
Do you follow Chris? On Twitter, do you follow Chris?
No, but on Instagram. On Instagram, I do.
Wait a minute.
On Instagram, I do.
Did you guys just find out who your real friend
was?
Of course.
I know you do. I see your kid.
You know I do.
I see your kid. I know what your kid looks like.
You know I follow you, Chris. Did you guys just find out who your real friend was here? You spent all this time.
OC follows, and I don't.
Every time I come in here, you guys are all buddy-buddy. Y'all laughing, chummy-chummy. And you just found out today.
He chummy-chummied us.
Who your real friend is. Will, hey. Do you have Twitter? Oh, you don't have Twitter. You see, that's why I don't follow you on Twitter. Because you're my friend.
You know the heat's on when I start sweating.
No, he's my friend. He's my friend. Look at them. They're my friends. They're not your friends.
You know what?
No.
Instagram, I follow Chris.
I literally saw this man go outside and get you some food.
I follow him on IG.
It was raining. It was raining. You can't follow him on Twitter? But you asked him to get you some food?
He said it was raining.
Incredible. That is terrible.
I don't follow you? I didn't know that.
Oh, my goodness.
Where do I see all your stuff? Through OC. I see it through. I see Simon's post through your page.
You're a bad man. You're a bad person, J.
The fact that you discovered this
you're
is not
good. You're not a
man
of the people.
Oh! And that's the end of the show.
I like it.
You don't follow him on Twitter.
I like it.
I retweet.
Or what I like.
He puts out shooting shark stuff. But I always retweet what you say.
Very disappointing. Because that is an indictment on your character. It is. It's an indictment on your character.
This is tragic that I get this.
Somebody follows you and you don't follow them back. I think that's serious. Simon Kress, as soon as I saw it, I was like, that's my guy. Follow. Doesn't matter. These are my friends. She didn't.
I always get it in my feed, though.
Yeah, that's because I like his stuff.